Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Thank you for another opportunity to come in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for making a way for us to be here. Dear Lord, we ask that you give us of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence. We say, have your way amongst us. We avail our hearts to you. We say, may our hearts become like clay in your hand. Remold our hearts as you deem fit. Spirit of God, take out this stony heart of ours and give to us the heart of flesh. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for all that you have done in our lives. And this evening, we know and we trust and we believe that you will speak to us. We thank you for this wonderful privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We've been sharing for the last 2 weeks about a mind of a servant. A mind of a servant. And we said that when it comes to servanthood, or when it comes to having a mind of a servant or a heart of a servant, the classic model that we have, or that is available to us as Christians, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is a classic example when it comes to servanthood, or when you are looking for a person with a heart of a servant or a mind of a servant. He is our classic example. So why don't you turn to Philippians chapter 2. Our foundational scripture has been Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. Ignatius, I miss you. It's good to see you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you. Let this same attitude and purpose and a humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian, you are Christ-like. You are being like Christ. And this is what Christ did. So the scripture is saying, let this same attitude, the same attitude, and the same purpose, and the same humble mind, which was in Jesus, let that same mind be in you. And he says, let him be your example in humility. Let Jesus be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like man and was born in a human being. He was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, Because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That in or at the mention or at the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue, frankly and openly, will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you see? He says, let him be this example. He says, let him be your example in humility. Let Christ be your example in humility. So we were sharing in this scripture that Jesus Christ, he made a mind of his own. He took upon himself a certain mind. He let a certain mindset be upon him, that if I am going to deliver these people, if I am going to take on this assignment of saving the people of the world, then I have to be of this mindset. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says there are three that bear records in heaven. Hallelujah. There are three that bear records in heaven, and he is included in that three. Do you see? And so if he is going to be sent, the Bible says God sent his son. He sent his son. If he is equal with God and he is going to be sent, then he has to have a mindset of a servant that can be sent. Hallelujah. And the Bible says not only did he just allow himself to be like that, he went even further low. He went further low, humbling himself. Not only did a God take upon himself a form of a man, he not just come like that, even to be born as a royal prince, something like that. But he was born the poorest way. Even you were not born in a manger. Almost all of you here were born in a hospital. Hallelujah. Some of you were born at some hospitals. Amen. Some of you were born in private homes, hospital. Special delivery at home. Amen. Some were born at Kolebu. Some were born at G. Do you know what is G? Hallelujah. But Jesus, he was born in a manger. He was born in a manger. Hallelujah. And then he suffered the death of the cross, the most embarrassing way of dying, the most embarrassing way of living this world. Hallelujah. And the Bible says because he did that. You see, not that because he carried a cross and he was in pain and agony, that was something to receive a crown for. But the Bible says, because he stood so low, he says, therefore, as a result of all of this, as a result of him going so low, the Bible says, God has highly exalted him. In the things of God, as you make yourself go low, God also exalts you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. So, we say we are interested in knowing the mind of a servant. The mind of a servant. Or the characteristics of a servant. Hallelujah. And the first characteristic that we learned was that a servant has a master. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A servant has a master. He says, a son honors the father and a servant the master. If I be the father, where is my honor? If I be your master, where is my fear? Hallelujah. So it's like a servant is a son is to a father as a son a servant is to a master. Do you understand the analogy? So every servant, if you say you are a son, automatically you should have a father. Do you see? You should have a father. We may not know your father, but you should have a father. And if we say you are a servant, then the next thing that we should look for is your master. Hallelujah. So if every servant must have a master, the second characteristic that we learned, what did we say? We say a servant is at the beck and call of his master. A servant is at the beck and call of his master. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 9. A servant is at the beck and call of his master. He says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." That is a master and a servant. He says, I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And I say, do this, and it will be done. No questions asked. Amen. A servant must be willing and ready to do anything that the master wants. Nobody would like to have a servant who will do the thing, only the things that he wants. A servant that you call and he says, no, not today. He says, on Wednesdays, I don't like to cook on Wednesdays. You are a servant, but no cooking on Wednesday. So, master, Wednesday is fast food. So you are hiring servants. You are choosing to hire servants. And this one says, I can cook any type of food, but on Wednesdays, I don't cook. And another one says, I don't know how to cook, but I am available any day, anytime. If you show me, give me the recipe, I can follow it and I will cook it for you. Which one would you hire? Yes. He's at the beck and call of the master. You see, this principle, even the world understands and knows that. Even the world understands that the person who is willing and ready to do anything is the one who will rise in a rank. Sometimes, you know, you are looking for a job, you are unemployed and you are looking for a job and you are going through agencies. You see, and then an agency may send you as a temp. You know what is a temp? It's like you hold a temporal position. So they send you as a temp to some company to work with a company. Now, you realize that the people will be observing amongst the temps, the one who is willing and ready to do anything. The one who puts in every effort, does his best, does not look at it as, oh, this is just a temporal job. But you are willing and you are ready to do anything. And they see that such a person is easy to work with. It's easy to work with a person like that. Hallelujah. A person who is ready to put on the servant's heart and a servant's spirit is very easy to work with. So they ask you, for instance, they say, oh, we have a lot of photocopies to be made. So make half today and half of them tomorrow. And then you go and send them, and then you make all of them in one day. You just make all. So when they come, they say, oh, are you done with the copies? You say, yeah. Oh, give me them. You say, I'm done. I finished all of them. Don't you think they'll be happy with you? You see, they are having plans in keeping you as a permanent person. They say, we have not seen this before. He's willing and ready to do anything. You are willing to do anything. And so they are happy with you. And someone like that, they will easily keep. Hallelujah. Compared to someone, they say, make half of it, and then you just make half. And then you realize that you have the whole time at your hand. And you are sitting down because they told me to just make half. Hallelujah. Someone with a servant spirit, with a servant heart, a mind of a servant, they ask you, they say, well, we know they hired you to type letters. We know we hired you to type letters. But they ask you, for instance, they say, oh, can you make some coffee? Oh, they do that sometimes. Can you make, you see, they hide you to write letters. But in the morning, 9:30, as you have started typing your letters, you see your boss take their coffee mug. And then he's going to the kitchen, and he's going to the sink to fetch water to come to. And then, you see, and then you, your boss, he was also hired to manage you. But he's making coffee, which the employers may come and, the employees may come and take. So you take the mug and then you, oh, I'll take care of it. Next time they come in the morning, you have made a coffee. They hired you to write letters. But you have made a coffee. Do you see? They hired you to write letters, but they need someone to go to FedEx office. You are available. You are willing to do anything. You are at the beck and call of the master. Hallelujah. Don't you think they will keep somebody like that? With a raise. They will keep you like that. Hallelujah. Similarly, in the church, you may have chosen to be in a particular fellowship, for instance. Maybe you are in the follow-up ministry. You want to be in the follow-up ministry. And then you are asked at this point, you say, oh, we want you now to teach in a Sunday school. You don't say, oh, teaching is not my thing. Teaching is not my thing. I want to just do fellowship. You see, that is not a servant's heart. That is not a servant spirit. Hallelujah. You should do it to the best of your ability and with joy. Even though you wanted to be a follow-up person, they say, now we need you to be in a Sunday school. And you should be able to do it. You should just receive it and say, sure, I am ready. After all, it's the work of God. Sunday school is a work. If you are a true servant, you want to just serve God. So it doesn't matter what they will ask you to do. Whatever is it that they are asking you to do is the work of God. So you are ready to do it. Hallelujah. You are ready to do it. A true servant is at the beck and call of the master. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
A true servant cannot choose what he wants to do. You can't choose what you want to do. Your boss says, Madam, somebody has hired you as a servant in the house. Madam, he says, he's giving you meat to cook. Makes the meat, you say, oh, you don't want fish. Why meat? You don't want fish. Let me make you fish. You see, that is not a servant spirit. Hallelujah. That is not a servant spirit. If you are a true servant, you should be able to do anything that your master asks you to do. If you are a true servant in this church, I should be able to change whatever you are doing at any time. Without discussion, without questions, look, I want you to do this, and that is what you are doing. If you are a true servant, if you are serving God, I should be able to say, you are not doing this anymore. Now I want you to do this. And there should be no questions. There should be no discussions. You should not be offended. Why are you offended? It is the work of God. This one also is the work of God. So who are you working for? You are choosing to do what you want. He says, let this mind be in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. You know, one time, it's a testimony. One time, I asked a brother to stop what he was doing. He was in a particular ministry, and I asked him to stop what he was doing to take on another ministry. I needed a lot of help in this new ministry, and I felt it required a mature Christian. It required someone who is mature to do or to carry on that ministry. Boy, was I wrong. I was totally wrong. I thought the person was mature. So I thought the person could handle the ministry, but I was totally wrong. The brother was angry. The brother was angry, became cold, and totally refused to do the assignment that I have given him. Totally refused. Hallelujah. So right there, I knew what his heart is. Right there, I knew the kind of person you are. Hallelujah. Right there, I knew right away the kind of heart that you have. I realized that I cannot let you do what I want. I realized that you are here because you are doing what you want. You are happy because you are doing what you want. And you see, that is one of the things that we do in Lighthouse. When we want to really see a person's heart, the thing we do is we change your ministry. We transfer you. You see, and the example is set from above. You see, Bishop, he transferred himself out of Kodesh. He transferred himself out of the Kodesh. And so, when he came back to transfer people, you couldn't, there's no discussion. Bishop Saki, he's out. Kadesh. Bishop Eddie, he has not even gotten a dash yet. He's waiting. He's coming. He's at the airport. He says, this one is the third Kadesh, but it's another dash. It's coming. It's in the making. Hallelujah. And so, who are you that this small ministry, they have taken, they say, do this, and you are angry. You are angry. So I also decided not to assign him to do anything. Do you see? Until you have done what I have asked you to do. Hallelujah. And so this person became very cold, became very some way. This person who was once excited about my teachings and my ministry became very cold. One day I was there and the person came. And then he said, I can no longer receive from you. I said, what a shock. He says, I can no longer receive from you. But you see, a person like this, he will not tell people the real story behind that. Do you understand? He will not tell people the real story behind all of this, what has led to this. Do you see? He says, I can no longer receive from you. And you're gone. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, if you are such a person, you cannot easily rise up in the ministry. You cannot easily rise up in the ministry. Hallelujah. We don't always get to do what we like in the ministry. Look, when I was being transferred from Manhattan Church to come to this place, it was just the next day I came to church. They say, you are going to the Bronze Church. I said, ah. Are you serious? And then you figure, what have I done wrong? You see, whenever they take a ministry from you, you think you have done something wrong. Maybe they are not happy with what I was doing. You say, what have I done wrong? I was assisting Reverend Osei. I was very happy in the church, you know. Suddenly, he said, you are going to the Bronze. I said, just like that? He said, oh, yes. No advance notice. No send-off party. There's no discussion, send-off party, less collection, and this. There's nothing like that. And you are gone. And there's no offense in that. No offense. And you see, was I happy initially? I was not happy. But when I came, I said, once I have arrived, this is my church. And once I've arrived, Jesus Christ has moved with me, and he's coming here. That was it. So I put in all my best. I said, whatever I can do here, I will do it. Whatever it is that I can do, I will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, that is a test of a servant's heart. When you are enjoying something, you are doing it and you are enjoying it, and then they say, no more. And then you assess yourself, what did I do wrong? And then sometimes you come to conclusion, they don't like me. You see, you will think that they don't like you. Hallelujah. You will think that they don't like you. And you are analyzing all the things. What in what conversation did I say something? And what did I do? And Hallelujah. But you see, when they give you, see, like this ministry that I was talking about, that this person didn't take it. Another person, finally, I assigned it to another person. And this person, it was a challenging ministry. But another person was doing it with all of his heart. With all of his heart. And when you do things like that, God will give you your own ministry. Look, Jesus says something very, very profound in Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Let me show you. He says something very profound. In fact, it was a question. It was a question in Luke 16 and verse 12. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Luke 16 and verse 12. It reads, it says, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own?" Do you see? It's another man's. You are in my ministry. It's my ministry. If you have not been faithful in my ministry, in another man's ministry, who shall give you that which is your own? Who will give you your own ministry? Now you realize that it is your own ministry you are going to have, your own that you possess, but someone has to give it to you. It's your own, but it's in somebody's hand. It's your own, but somebody has to give it to you. He said, if you are not faithful in someone else's ministry, then who can give you that which is your own? Hallelujah. I believe that this is the scripture that explains why so many orangus who leave churches don't do well. This is a scripture that explains all those matimeho churches, why they don't succeed, why they don't do well. Hallelujah. You see, because you see, when you leave another man's ministry in anger, out of offense, you see, it means that, you see, one time there's a group of people just decided they will break our church. It's like they were mature people doing things in the church, and then they all came together and said, "Let us show him that the church will break." You see, and they decided to leave the church one day. You see, but one thing that people don't understand is Jesus has said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You see, sometimes people think that it's a pastor's church. Jesus will not call it my church. He says, "I will build my church. I will build my church." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I will build my church. Amen. But you see, that is a scripture for which reason a lot of people who destroy other people's church do not do well. A lot of people who are always luring people from their church, stealing other people's church members, they don't do well. They don't do well. They don't do well. Hallelujah. Anyone who steals my member from my church will never do well. I said, anyone who steals my church member, members that I am ministering to, you know how tired I am as I'm standing here right now? You have no idea. You have no idea. It started from Friday. You have no idea. And then you come and steal my member like that, you will not do well. You will not do well. I don't care who you are, no matter who you are, you will not. If you try to steal my members, take my members, your ministry will not prosper. According to Luke 16, verse 12. According to Luke 16, verse 12. Hallelujah. If you are going to have something, somebody is going to have to give it to you. Perry, if you are going to have something, if you are going to have something that you call your own, somebody is going to have to give it to you. Even after you have worked, somebody has to give you a paycheck. Otherwise, you don't have money. You have worked, but you don't have it. How many people have been at a place where the week has ended, but they have not paid you? Because the company does not have money. Many years ago, a hospital in Manhattan, Cabrini Hospital, employers, doctors, pharmacists, technicians, nurses, they couldn't pay them for several weeks, and they couldn't leave. Why are you going? They couldn't leave. They were working, but there's no money. Hallelujah. Look at the New Living Translation. Let's look at this same scripture in the New Living Translation. It says, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? If you are not faithful with other people's things, give us a reason. Give us a reason why we should trust you with things of your own. If you are not faithful in other people's ministry, if you are not faithful in someone else's ministry, why should we trust you with your own ministry? Why should we? You see, this brother, we could have mistakenly made him a pastor. Easily. We could have mistakenly made you a pastor. Meanwhile, your heart is not a servant's heart. You are here enjoying because you're doing whatever you want. The moment that is taken from you, then we see what is in your heart. Yes, if you have not been faithful in someone's ministry, if whilst you were in someone's ministry, you didn't do it with all your heart, you were just doing it because you were benefiting from whatever you wanted to benefit from. If you have not been faithful in someone's ministry, why should we give you your own ministry? It's a question that Jesus Christ is asking. It's a question. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a question. If you have not been faithful in someone's marriage, why should you get your own marriage? You have not been faithful to somebody's husband. Somebody's husband. You have not been faithful. You couldn't say, it's my husband. You are married. I cannot sleep with you. But you have not been faithful to somebody's husband. And you have taken somebody's husband. Why should you also have your own husband? Oh, yes. Oh, true, true. You see, David was not faithful. David was not faithful to somebody's wife. And somebody was also not faithful to his wife publicly. It's all his concubines. Amen. Look, if you are not faithful to somebody's wife, somebody you will not have, you have your own wife. If you are not faithful to somebody's wife. If you are not faithful to somebody's beloved, somebody will also not be faithful to your own beloved. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing this evening? He says, if you are not faithful with another person's or other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? You want your own husband? Be faithful to somebody's husband. You want your own wife? Be faithful to somebody's wife. You want your own ministry? Be faithful to someone's ministry. You want to keep your own church members? Be faithful to someone else's church members. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? You want to have your own children? Be faithful. Be faithful to someone else's children. Hallelujah. Amen. This is Jesus Christ saying, hallelujah. You see, the New English Translation, the same scripture, the New English Translation. What does it say? It says, and if you haven't been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? If you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? There are some of you go to work, you waste your company's resources. You waste your company's resources. You go and you want to make four copies, but you were angry and you press 444 and you walk away, and then you walk away, and then you went to get a cup of water or something, and then you come back. Why? Oh, then you just take your four copies that you need, and then you walk away. The rest of them, later on, you come and then you take them and then put them in the recycle bin. Would you do that to your own copy machine and your own copy papers? You will not. So, he says, if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? That is why you don't have a copy machine at home. or the one you have is broken. Your own is broken. That is why your papers, they are always jamming in your copy machine. You see, you want to make one copy, 10 of them will jam in your own machine. You are not faithful in someone's property, who will give you your own? Amen. You are not faithful. You see, some of you, you live in apartment buildings. You see, if you are not faithful in someone else's property, you live in somebody's apartment building, you let the water run. The water is running and running and running. And you are going to take a shower. You say the place is cold. So you turn the water to heat the whole place before you take a shower. And you want to own your own house. You want to own your own house. He said, if you are not trustworthy, if you are not faithful in someone else's property, who will give you your own? Who will give you your own? Who will give you your own? Fill the whole place. Sometimes you are just brushing your teeth, and the water is running to clean the sink or to, I don't know, but the water is running and brushing your teeth. I tell my children, I say, if you are not faithful in my things, someone else's property, you are letting the water run and I am paying the money. Let me not quote. Sometimes I'm lying down and I say, is that my water that is running like that? Hey! You turn the water on and you are doing your things. You are in your room. You are doing your things. Let the water, like a sauna, create a sauna before I come to take a shower. Some of you have free utility. When you are going to work, you leave all the lights on. All the lights on. You leave all the lights on and then you go. There's some place they have dupso. You have no idea. You leave all the lights on and you go. You go home. If you are not faithful in someone's property, who will give you your own? Who will give you your own? Because it's free. It's not a good thing. Hallelujah. Some of you, you turn the heater on and you open the window. Hey! You are heating the outside for the company. You are hitting the street. Open the window. Turn on the heater. Can I have witnesses in the house? It's not a good thing. Hallelujah. Because they say free utility. Your rent includes the electricity, it includes the water, it includes the gas, it includes... So, you are boiling water, a little bit of water to make tea, a cup of tea. You fill the kettle. You fill it full. Boil it and then you take 8 ounces of water for your tea. And then you leave the rest. And then you go home. If you are not faithful in that which belongs to another, who will give you your own? Who will give you your own? Amen. You see, you live in somebody's private house. He has not even finished paying his mortgage. And he says, oh, you need a place. You can rent this place. You bring all your children. Now your children have placed you. They are putting holes on the wall. Holes writing with pen, marks, pencils. And then you are sitting down watching, hey, stop. Am I preaching to somebody this evening? You are not faithful in someone else's property. Who will give you your own? your children, it's like a war in the house. War, like a war-torn house. Bullets everywhere. But the day you are leaving the apartment, the person has to spend money to... And you see, and you want your own property. You are praying to the Lord to give you your own house. One day that you can also buy your house. The Lord is waiting for a good reason to give you your own. He says, why? Why? If you have not been trustworthy with someone's property, why should you? Why? Why? Give me a good reason why you should be trusted with your own property. Give me a good reason. Hallelujah. There are some people, when someone lends you their car, just their car one day. Because it's not, or you are driving a company's car. It's not a good thing. It says, if you are not faithful with someone else's property, who will give you that which is your own? It's not a good thing. You see, in the Amplified Version, there's something that I noticed and very, very interesting. Look at that. It says, and if you have not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, and it says, whether what? Whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own? That is the true riches. If you have not been faithful in that which belongs to another, whether it belongs to God or it belongs to man, if you have not been faithful, who will give you that which is your own? And that is what we do also in the church. When the church asks you to do something, when the church asks you to do something, you are now trying to make profit out of the church. You want to make profit out of the church. The church asks you to make something, that is the time that you are going to put your profit in the thing. Something that somebody can make with $40, you say we should give you $250. Because it's the church. And sometimes some people, when the church asks you to make something, because it's not your money, because you are not using your own money, no bargaining. How much? $50, okay, here, 50. This one, how much? 70, here, 70. Because it's not your money. No bargaining. Okay, it's church money. So anything goes. No shopping around. You don't have time to shop around. You are not looking to see where you can get good quality with good price. And he says, that which belongs to whether man or God. Don't shop around. No bargaining. You are not looking for any deals. Anything goes because it's not yours. And sometimes we buy unnecessary things and expensive. Sometimes the way we handle some of these equipment and the wires, we are always, look at the wires that we use. Now it's like we have to buy like car wire so that people cannot break. Why? Meanwhile, you don't even have such a wire at home. Amen. If you are not faithful in that which belongs to someone, who will give you that which is your own? Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, one thing that you have to understand is that whenever God wants to promote you, whenever God wants to give you an increase, whenever God wants to elevate you, he will put you in a situation or in a position, or he'll give you an opportunity to serve. Whenever God wants to promote you, the way he will do it is to give you an opportunity to serve. So doing something in the house of God, when you are asked to do something, it's a privilege and it's an opportunity for promotion. I'm telling you. Look, let me show you a story. Let me show you something. Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. How many of you know about Joseph? You see, this man, he was having a lot of dreams. God was giving him wild dreams. He was being called to greatness. Patrick, do you see? It says, verse 5, it says, now Joseph had a dream, And he told it to his brothers. And they hated him still more. Let me read it from the King James Version. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have a dream. I have dreamed a dream, even more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and your mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. Hallelujah. Now jump to 26, verse 26. You see, so this is his calling. This was a call, and people's calling can come in the form of a dream. God can show you what you are going to become. So God showed him the kind of great person that he's going to become. And verse 26, it says, and Judah said unto his brethren, because now the brothers have developed such hatred for him. They are planning to kill him. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Hallelujah. You see, so look at this person who is having all these dreams, who God is planning to elevate. But God is working out. You see, he was in his father's house. He was his father's favorite. His father bought him a coat of many colors. His father would prefer him when the father is sending the children to go in the field. He did not even get the opportunity to serve. He did not get the opportunity to serve his father. He did not even go to the field to take care of the sheep. But this is a person that God wanted to elevate. God wanted to promote. So now God is working out his way to give him an opportunity to serve so he can elevate him. And look at how his life is going. Look at how it's going. So the Bible says the Midianites bought him and they brought him to Egypt. Go to chapter 39. Chapter 39 and verse 1. It says, chapter 39 and verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Do you see? So now they have brought him to Egypt, and they have sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard. He has bought him. Look at the person who has a calling to greatness, a calling to become very great. And now they have sold him to Potiphar's house, an Egyptian, a foreigner completely, who will have no mercy on him. And the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of who? His master. His master. Now Joseph suddenly has a master. Joseph, who once was a son and a favorite son, he suddenly has a master. He suddenly has a master. That means he's what? A servant. He was once in his father's house. He says, if I be the father, where is my honor? He says, a son honoreth the father. A son was honoring the father. He was honoring his father at home. But now he is a servant to a master. And he has to serve. Hallelujah. So he says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Do you hear? He served him. He found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer. Look at that. He said he was faithful in that which was another man's house. He was faithful in another man's property. He was faithful in another man's business. And so he says, now he's getting his own. Look at that. He says, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord made him to prosper. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time, he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And look at what happened in verse 6. Now, look at the master. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Whereas he was a servant, seven. You see, if you read from the beginning, it says Potiphar was a captain of the guard. That means that he was a captain over several guards. And he could have made any of those guards his leader to watch over things. He could have handed over things to any of the guards. But he handed over to someone who was willing to do anything. Someone who was serving. Someone who was a servant is now being elevated. Hallelujah. And so he says that he handed everything over to Joseph. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. He didn't even know what he had at this point. He couldn't have account of what he had, save the bread which he did eat. That is all he minded, that he has food to eat. Everything, Joseph was in charge. Do you see that he has now replaced even Potiphar in his own house? And do you see that now Joseph is the one that is giving orders? Because he was faithful in someone else's ministry. God has now given him a ministry. God has given him an opportunity. Hallelujah. But that is not where God wanted to bring him. God wanted him to go higher. So God had to put him in. Because if he stays in Potiphar's house and he's this person that now he's giving command and he's giving instructions, he's not serving. But God wants to elevate him. So now God has to put him in another situation where he will serve. Where he will continue to serve so that he can elevate him even further. To see if he can be still faithful in someone else's business. God is looking for a reason to trust him with that which is his own. He says, if you have not been trustworthy in another man's property, why? Give me a reason why you should also be trusted in that which is your own. So now God is looking for another means to elevate him. So he orchestrates another situation where he can become a servant again. So now Potiphar's wife develops interest. You see, it's not always that a man, you know, you see a guy and a lady is after you that you should think that you are all cute and nice. That is why. It should not always be like that. Sometimes it's just an opportunity for you to say no, so that God will take you to the next place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But if it was for you that Potiphar's wife came, and if it was one of you, hallelujah. So now Potiphar's wife comes in the man's life and all these things. And you see, and God is orchestrating all these things to lead him to servanthood. To lead him to servanthood. Hallelujah. So now, if you go down to verse 39, in chapter 39, verse 19, in chapter 39, it says, and it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him. Say, how many of you do not know about this part of the story? You don't know about Potiphar. Let me see your hand. Let me explain. So Potiphar now has developed interest in Joseph. and wanted to sleep with Joseph. She had made multiple attempts. And Joseph said, look, my master has trusted me with everything in this house. He has put me in charge of everything except his wife. He didn't give me his wife, so I will not come to that area. Some of you would have said, if he has given me everything, if I've taken it, then I'll take it. You know, I'll finish everything. But there was one day that nobody was in the house. And don't think it's an accident. Don't think it's an accident that you are left alone with a girl. So now it's an opportunity. He said, the Bible says there was one day that nobody was in the house. Nobody was in the house. And Joseph went in to do business as usual. And the woman said, today is my day. So the woman has some nice lingerie and all of this. And she pretending like she knows that nobody's in the house. So she's walking around the house. And then she spots Joseph. So she calls the man. The man said, hey! He covered his eyes. You will not cover your... Madam, please. Oh, madam, go, madam. You are looking from top to bottom. Hey, madam. Oh, madam, you can't do that. Oh, madam. Please, madam, let me take you back. Let me take you. And then you are pushing the madam. Madam, let me take you. Madam, master will not like that. Master. But David, he was running away. And then you'll be, oh, madam, this thing that we are doing, it's not good, though. It's not good. We shouldn't be doing this. You are doing it, that you say, we shouldn't be doing this. Madam, in fact, if master sees this, we will be in trouble. Oh. We shouldn't be doing this. Master will not be happy with us. Oh. But Joseph ran. So now the wife had to conjure a story to get Joseph into trouble. And he says, and Joseph's master, he says, and it came to pass, verse 19, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, with his wrath, that his wrath was kindled. So he lied. She lied about Joseph. She said, Joseph was trying to rape her. And as she screamed, Joseph ran away and she caught Joseph's clothes. And she's showing it as evidence. So the Bible says Joseph's master's wrath was kindled, means he was angry. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was over and the doer of it. Do you think the man was lazy hiding from work? That's why they committed all the things into his hand. Why? Because he was working hard. He was serving with his heart. No matter where he found himself, this is a prison ministry, I will do my best. This is Potiphar's house ministry, I will do my best. This is Sunday school, I will do my best. This is fellowship, area fellowship meetings, I will do my best. This is follow-up, I will do my best. This is cooking for the church, I will do my best. Any place where they put him, he was doing his best. And the Bible says, the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. The Lord was with him. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing this evening? And the Lord was with him. And this was the place where the Lord wanted to bring him, that he will serve and serve faithfully. And as each opportunity that he had to serve and serving faithfully, it was leading him to higher and higher promotions. Higher and higher promotions. And so he continued in the prison, serving. And then they made him a ruler over the prisoners. And God says, now that I have seen that you are faithful in other people's ministry, I will give you that which is your own. So the Lord orchestrated for two men to have to go against the king, did something wrong, they brought them to prison. The Lord wanted people who are close to the king, who can speak to the king, to come to the prison. And he orchestrated for them to have certain dreams. They had a dream, and no one else but Joseph interpreted the dream and explained the dream to them, and they went out. And for that reason, Joseph now came in the front of Pharaoh, or came to Pharaoh's house. Hallelujah. That is how God wanted to promote him. And finally, if you continue to read, when you get a chance, read the rest of the story. He now became the prime minister of Egypt. Prime minister, and Potiphar became under him. Potiphar and his wife and his children, everyone in Potiphar's house, they were under Joseph now. That is how God will give you your ministry, when you are also faithful in another man. That is how God will give you your marriage, when you are faithful in someone else's marriage. The man is a married man and he wants to sleep with you. Say, I cannot do that. Don't say, oh, I think he likes me better than his wife. I think I am prettier than his wife. That is why. You see, that is the wrong thinking. That your mind is not working right. It's a wrong mind. Say, because I look nice. I think he likes me better than. Maybe it's the way I talk. I think I'm a smooth at my talking. If you are not faithful in someone else's ministry, nobody will give you your own. You want me to share one more with you? Are you sure? Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Verse 1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, and in those days, are you with me? And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Say, full of the Holy Ghost. And wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. He says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What business? The business of serving in the canteen. The business of serving in the cafeteria. The business of sharing food. And they chose people who were anointed. People who were wise. So you think you are too wise and you are too big for this ministry that they have given you? When they were looking for people to serve at tables, they looked for people who were anointed, people who had wisdom, people who were higher amongst them in wisdom. That is the people they selected. So they selected 7 anointed, wise disciples amongst them, and they appointed over this business of serving food. But we will give ourselves continually, verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus. Have you heard of Prochorus before? It's a name. And Nicanor. Have you heard of Nicanor before? And Timon, have you heard of Timon before? And Parmenas, have you heard of Parmenas before? And Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, have you heard of him before? But have you heard of Stephen before? Have you heard of Philip before? I will tell you why. So he said, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, he says, and whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Do you see? These were, all these seven people, they were anointed and wise people among the disciples. So you see, Stephen could have said, I'm too anointed. You know, I am too powerful for, you know, come on, give me some ministry that, come on, the 1 year and 2 year olds, please. If anything, let me assist you. You know, let me be the assistant pastor or something, you know. But this Sunday school and cafeteria and cleaning the bathroom and, you know I'm anointed. You see, Stephen could have talked like that. Stephen could have said, I think you can have another area where you can really use me. Philip could have said the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, the bathroom, well, there's no one to anoint in the bathroom. Who are we going to anoint in the bathroom? Give me a ministry. And let me show you what I can do. I'll lay hands on the people and they'll be falling down. He says, try me. It means try me. Hallelujah. Do you see? Philip could have said that. Stephen could have said that. But they did not. They did the work they put in their hearts. He says, and the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Do you know why? Because now the disciples, they were able to set their lives aside to just for the praying and the ministering of the word. That is why he says, and the word of the Lord increased. Before, they were being distracted with this serving of the tables, but they were able to leave that work for the other disciples, these seven people that they chose. And they did it with all their wisdom, with all their anointing. In fact, when they were going to work on Sunday to serve in the cafeteria, they prayed, they fasted. This is my ministry now. I am doing it. I am anointed for the cafeteria. So I will pray for the anointing to increase so I can serve well. That when I share the food, there will be no argument. You see, health ministry, sometimes you need to pray like that. That when you distribute the food, nobody will complain. You gave my son this one, you gave my son the leg, and you gave my son the wing. You gave my daughter the leg, and you gave the tail. Pray that when you finish, no, you see, any part of the work is the work of God, and it requires anointing to do the work. In the house of God, there is nothing that is little. There is nothing that is small. Any work that you are assigned is the work of God. And you, at least would you understand that this thing that you release, this thing that you now took over to do, you have released the work of God to increase. Now the word of God is increasing. Now the pastor is free to wait on the Lord to hear him and to minister powerfully. Because now you have taken this responsibility of sharing food from him. I said, there's no work amongst us that is little. Hallelujah. So look at this. As they continue to do this, he says, and Stephen, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Look at that. He received his ministry, and now look at what he's doing. He was doing wonders and great things among the people. This was his calling. But God wanted to put him as a servant at the table to begin to see if he would be faithful in someone else's ministry. And as he was being faithful, God gave him his own ministry, power to minister. Hallelujah. Now go to chapter 8. Look at that. Someone also was called to serve at the table, to be a servant. And he also received it. And he served. And the word of God spread. And the pastors were able to do the work. They'll say, we will do the visitation. You are here. You are very far. Don't worry. If there's somebody here, we will visit the person. We will go and pray for this person. We will go and pray for this person. We will visit this person. We will do this for this person. It's okay. You just wait on the Lord. Do this. Do that. Let the word of God spread. So he also put in all his best. And Acts chapter 8, after several chapters, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, someone who was called to be a servant, he has now become a powerful evangelist. He was called to serve at table. Look at that. He says, therefore, Acts chapter 8, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were all healed. And there was great joy in the city. Hallelujah. There was great joy in the city. But you see, Philip could have also said, I'm too anointed. Look, my calling is evangelism. I'm an evangelist, anointed evangelist, not to serve at tables. But when they gave him that ministry, he did it with all his heart. And eventually, he became what God wanted him to be. When God gave him the opportunity to serve, he went down as low as serving at the table. And now God elevated him to a powerful evangelist who was ministering with power, with miracles, and with wonders. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. But you see, when we were reading, I asked you about other five people. And you said you've never heard of them. Maybe. They thought they were too anointed to serve at tables. Maybe they thought they were too wise. They know the word too much to just waste it at table. They know the word just too much to be just serving at tables. And so they said that they called seven who were anointed of the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. And they were included. But we never heard of them again. Perhaps their attitude at the canteen was not something requiring elevation. Perhaps they didn't have a servant's heart at the canteen. Perhaps they didn't have a servant spirit at the cafeteria. And so that was the end of their ministry. And we never heard of them anymore. Put your hands together for the Lord. Our time is up. Stand onto your feet. If you want to go up, you need to go down. If you want to be elevated, you need to go down. If you want God to give you that which is your own, be faithful in that which belongs to another man. Let us see trustworthiness in that which belongs to another man. Let us see that you are faithful in that which belongs to another man. When you are handling our instruments, show faithfulness that your own instruments at home will stay working and they will not break. Who will give you your own? If you are not faithful with our projector to show nicely, who will give you a nice flat screen TV of your own? That is why your flat screen TV has broken. Because you are not faithful with our projector. Lord,
where you
yes.
are.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I want
be faithful.
Know,
be faithful. Lord, in that which is another man. Have a servant's heart. Whatever ministry they give you, have a servant's heart. If you want to have a ministry, if you want to be great in the ministry, have a servant's heart. If you want God to elevate you, the way up is to make yourself go down. He said, let this mind be in you. This was the mind which was in Christ Jesus. This was the mind with Christ's heart. Says that he stooped so low, therefore the Lord also exalted him and gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of the name Jesus, he says, every knee bows, every knee bows. Oh, yes. every knee bow.
If there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight, Lord, I'm listening, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Speak to
me. We have all fall short of this sin.
Lord,
we have not been faithful in other people's property. We have not been faithful in other people's things.
I'm listening.
Oh, Lord, forgive us.
Speak to me.
Forgive us.
Lord,
so we can have that which is our own. Father, that we can see, we can give you a reason to be trustworthy of our own property. Lord, we want to have our own homes. Let us be faithful. Let us be trustworthy in another man's property. Let us keep someone else's home well. We want to have our own children. Let us be trustworthy with someone else's children. We want to have our own marriages. Let us be trustworthy. Let us be faithful in someone else's marriage. Oh, yes.
So when you call my name, I'll say to you, Lord, here I am, oh, I'm listening, Lord, speak to me, I wanna see how you Lord, change my heart,
change my heart, Lord,
and make me holy,
make me holy.
If there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight,
I'm listening, Lord,
my God, speak to me.
Lord,
speak to me.
Speak to me.
I'm listening. Lord, speak to me. Lord,
change my heart,
Lord. Speak to me.
Change his heart. Let us be faithful.
I'm listening. Lord, speak to me.
Let us be faithful in other people's property. Let us be faithful in other people's ministry. Let us be faithful in other people's marriages.
Heart,
let us be faithful,
Lord,
with other people's children.
Yours.
Let us
change
be faithful
heart,
in every ministry that we have been assigned.
Me.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to hear your voice, Lord. Speak
help
to
us.
Me, my God.
Speak to me.
Ooh. Father, we are thankful for your word this evening. Lord, we know we have not been faithful in so many ways, in the things that belong to other people. Heavenly Father, we have not been faithful with the property that belongs to other people. We have not been faithful with the resources that belong to other people. We have not been faithful with other people's marriages. We have not been faithful with other people's husbands. We have not been faithful with other people's wives. We have not been faithful with other people's children. We have not been faithful with other people's ministry. Lord, we have not been faithful in the ministry that we have been assigned. Therefore, Lord, forgive us and give us a heart of a servant. Wherever we find ourselves, oh Lord, let it come to us as a test of our servant's hearts, that we will serve with all our hearts. Help us, Lord, to have a servant's heart. Help us, Lord, that when we happen to have something to do, we will do it with all our hearts. We will do it with all of our ability. We will do it to the best of our ability. Give us the anointing, even to serve at tables. Give us the anointing to clean the toilet. Give us the anointing to clean the bathrooms. Give us the anointing to clean the church. Give us the anointing to arrange the church, to decorate the church. Give us the anointing to work in the Sunday school, to take care of the babies. Give us the anointing to teach the children. Father, whatever level we find ourselves, give us the anointing. Give us the anointing to usher in the church. Give us the anointing to play the instrument in the church. Give us the anointing to sing to your glory. Lord, we ask that we serve as true servants, that we will also have our own, that which you have for us. We thank you, Lord. We bless you in the name of Jesus. And all the saints join and say, Amen.
Amen.
Now with all eyes closed, every head bowed, you are here this evening. You have not given your life to Christ. You have not given your life to Jesus. You know in your heart that Jesus Christ is not your savior. He's not your master. But he's here. It is not by accident that you happen to be here this evening. If you are here, you say, I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my savior. I want to walk with this Jesus. I want him to be my savior. If you are here this evening, and that is your prayer, you are here. You don't even know when you die where you are going. If you are to die tonight, you don't even know where you are going. But if that is your prayer, you want to give your life to Christ, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. You say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my savior. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. Say, I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. Do not leave this place without receiving Christ. You are here, you say, I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. If that is you, just lift up your hand and I'll pray with you anywhere you are. Anyone here like that? Why don't we all join and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the
all
cross.
For my sins.
All for my
Lord
sins.
Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe you rose again.
I believe
on the third day.
On the third
please
day.
Forgive me of my sins.
Please forgive me.
Cleanse
of my
me
sins.
From all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
I invite you
this evening
to come into my life.
To come into my
be
life.
My master.
Be my master.
Be my savior.
Be my savior.
Lord Jesus. Please write my name.
Please write my
in the book of life.
In the book of
thank
life.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving
in
me.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.